Kopi Dhanavalaba Girivadhari. Jaya Gopi Dhanavalaba Girivadhari. Sasoda Nandana Brajadana Ranjana Sasoda Nandana Brajadana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Dhanavalaba Girivadhari Jaya Gopi Dhanavalaba Girivadhari Jasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jamuna Tiravana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Nama Charja Sridhar Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sekaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gokobinath Shama Kundradha Kunigidi Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Ki Jai, Gangamai Ki Jai, Jamanamai Ki Jai, Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Prem Anande. Okay. Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 24, text 7. Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Now, maybe it was text 6, actually. Text 6, okay. Ascharja shuni amor utkantita man. Kripa kori kaha yadi jurai shravan. Ascharja shuni amor utkantita man. Kripa kori kaha yadi Jurai Shravan. Ascharja, wonderful. Shunya, hearing. More, my. Utkantita, desirous. Mon, mind. Kripa kori, showing your causeless mercy. Kaha yadi, if you speak. Jurai, pleases, shravan, the ear. I have heard this wonderful story and am therefore very inquisitive to hear your explanation again. If you would kindly repeat it, I would be very pleased to hear. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahyam Datati Shapadantikam Bande Hang Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raghunathan Vitamstam Sajivam Sadvaitam Shavakutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstra E Krishna Korona Sindho Dinabanto Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kulpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ascharja Shunya Mor Utkantita Mon Kripakori Gahajari Shudai Shravan Sri Sanatan Goswami is speaking, and what he's inquisitive to hear is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's explanation of the famous Atmarama verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Atmaramas chamunio nirgranta apyurukrame kurvanti hoitukim bhaktim itam bhuta gunahari. I've heard that you explained this verse in 18 different ways to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, so now I'm very keen to hear it. So if you would be so kind, please speak this explanation, and it will be very pleasing to hear. Prabhu kahe, ami batul amar bochane, sarvabhauma batul taha shotya korimane. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I am one madman, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is another. Therefore, he took my words to be the truth. Kiba prala pilan kichu nahika smarane tomar sangha bole jodi kichu hoy mane. I don't recall what I spoke in that connection. But if something comes to my mind due to association with you, I shall explain it. This is the mood of the hearer and the speaker. The hearer is keen to hear. It will be very beneficial and pleasing to hear your words. So please speak about this. Please speak about this. And the speaker thinks, what can I say? But by the association of those who are hearing, I may be able to say something. The speaking to an empty room is not particularly inspiring. But if there's one or two people who are keen to hear, or if there's an internet audience, then we're all right. Maybe we'll get some ideas from the audience. If the audience is a dull audience, then one doesn't feel much inspiration, generally, to come up with deep explanations or to go into things in detail. All right, let's fill up the hour. But if the audience is keen, and if the audience is intelligent and interested in the subject matter, then all right, let's see. So much of the outcome depends on the audience. Sukadeva Goswami was just wandering around getting teased and insulted by the dull-witted children and women. But when he came to Naimisharanya, the sages all stood up to honor him. Oh, here's the right person to answer the questions of Maharaj Parikshit. Well, before then, Sukadeva had nothing to say. But when the audience was there, keen to hear, then he had so much to say. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't remember what I told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's a madman anyway. But we're two peas in a pod. He's a madman and I'm a madman. So something must have come out. And by your association, maybe something will again appear. The implication is you're also a madman. You're also a madman. That is, you're keen to hear. Ekadasha pada e shloka shunir mol prithak nana arto pade kore chalamal. There are 11 clear words in this verse, but when they are studied separately, various meanings glitter from each word. Purport: the 11 separate words are Atmaramaha, 1, Atmaramaha, 2, Cha, 3, Muniyaha, 4, Nirgrantaha, 5, Api, 6, Urukrame, 7, Kurvanti, 8, Ahoitakim, 9, Bhaktim, 10, Ittam Bhutagunaha, and 11, Harihi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will explain the different connotations and imports of these words. Ittam Bhutagunaha is a compound, so it counts as one word. So this is the method of explaining Srimad Bhagavatam. We see that Srila Prabhupada followed this method, and the acharyas in their commentaries follow this method. What is that? Just go through the words one by one and explore what they mean. First of all, get a clear definition. But there may be more meanings than one. There may be more meanings than one. We have that in English. We have it in all languages, where words can have different, entirely different meanings. Like I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the example of Saindava. Saindava comes from Sindhu. So he says Saindava can mean salt, because it comes from the ocean, or it can mean the king of Sindh. So it depends on the context and the what's meant to be said. The two entirely different meanings. Or sometimes the meanings are close, but they overlap. We get what we call in English nuance. And it's the same thing, but it's slightly different because there's another context or another shade of meaning. So sometimes the meanings are two entirely different. And I gave the example in Vanity Karma that a block can mean a piece of wood, block can mean the street on which you live, block can mean some obstacle that's in your way, a car, a barrier, block can mean a mental impediment, block can mean a part of a blockchain and cryptocurrency or other crypto stuff. And I'm sure there's more blocks that we could find. So it's one word, but there's so many different meanings. So in Sanskrit, of course, the same principle holds, that the each of these words can have many different meanings. Atma Rama. So Atma. Atma means the self, but Atma can mean the mind, Atma can mean the body, Atma can mean so many different things. The mind is the soul, the individual living being, the supreme living being. And just this word Atma, you can go on, you could go on and on about Atma. And we'll find out that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does. This volume is a little feeding back, just slightly. I don't know if we have control over that. They can't hear me online. I see it's all one. Okay. You have to speak into the, but if I speak into the microphone, then I hear it coming back at me. So it distorts if you speak right into it. If you speak right to the side, I don't know. It's the material world, you can't win. So Srila Prabhupada's and the Acharyas, they explain the Shastras just word for word, going. Of course, sometimes Prabhupada will just take some theme and speak on a theme closely related or tangentially related. But so often, he's simply unpacking the meaning of individual words in the verse. And of course, any individual word may lead to another verse, and then we can unpack that verse word for word. That's so often how Srila Prabhupada's talks are constructed, just explaining the words. I remember he was talking to one elderly gentleman who was associated with an impersonalist group, and Prabhupada was basically condemning a commentator for being a fool and a rascal, and Prabhupada just explained it by unpacking one verse. Namam duskritana murdha prapadyante naradhama maya pritagana asura bhavamashrita. And he patiently explained what duskritana is, what naradhama is, maya pritagana asura bhavamashrita murdha, all of these terms. And by the time you've explained all those words, it's pretty clear where those people stand. And then Prabhupada apologized. He said, it's not my saying, it's Krishna's saying. What can I do? So this is our method to unpack these words. And here we find Jalama. The words glitter, they shine with different meanings. And the Tushyanti cha ramante cha. This is how devotees enjoy. The karmis and materialists enjoy talking about dull, mundane topics, politics and family affairs and local gossip and internet, yip-yap. But the devotees, the great souls, take pleasure in this way. Much chitta madgata pran, bodhyanta paraspara, enlightening one another. Katyantascha mam nityam, always talking about Krishna. Tushanti cha ramanti cha. And in this way they get great satisfaction and bliss. And what is that talking? They'll look at different meanings of the words. otherwise it's the same class again and again. But when you excavate the words, when you probe into them, they have so much meaning. Meaning derived from the context. Just like this word, urukram. One who takes big steps. So that's literally what it means. Gigantic steps. But then the context is, who is it that takes these gigantic steps? It's Lord Vamandev, who's received the boon of three paces from Bali Maharaj. So then, now you've got a week-long seminar about urukram, which just, if you went to the dictionary, urukram, big step. But once we connect it with Lord Vamandev and his pastimes, then there's so much to be said. Atato Brahma Jigyasa in the Vedanta. So now the speaking actually begins when we speak about Krishna. So the devotees probe into these words, not for imaginary ideas, but to understand Krishna following in the footsteps of the acharyas. It's not an invitation to mental speculation and saying whatever we want, but it is an invitation to hear from the acharyas and to realize something in the association of the devotees, and to, yes, to derive pleasure from that. And then sometimes the acharyas will get fancy and they'll unpack the word in such a way as to play games with it. Of course, the Mayavadis also do this. Nahi nahi rakshate dukrin karane. They'll play games with the words and get different meanings. But their purpose is how to get Krishna out of the picture. How to get the Nirakar Brahma, impersonal Brahma, as the object of realization, one way or another way. That's their purpose, and therefore we condemn them as word jugglers. That's simply mundane word jugglery. Because they're leading the hearer away from Krishna. Otherwise, when our acharyas do the same thing, then we appreciate them because they're leading the hearer closer to Krishna. And they do it. They find different ways of reading a verse, especially Sunday has a lot to do with it. Probably everyone here knows what Sandhi is, but we'll repeat it. Sandhi is literally joining. And it's the joining of two words or two sounds according to Sanskrit grammatical principles. So that, long A's especially come in there. So that, what is that in the nectar of instruction? Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha. It's spelled the same way no matter how you read it, but it's a combination of two words, niyama agraha. Or it's a combination of the two words niyama agraha, because short A plus short A equals long A, and short A plus long A equals long A. So there's ambiguity there. We don't know whether it's niyama agraha or niyama agraha. So either following the rules and regulations
too much or not failing to follow the rules and regulations. So Rupa Goswami gets two meanings out of one word. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur especially will take a verse apart that way and give entirely new meanings. Do you know that verse, Pundarik, about the rasa dance? Where he's telling the gopis that you should go back to your homes. Don't stay here. Go back to your homes. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur just breaks the words in different places and says that it means don't go back to your homes, stay here. Stay here. So in this way, the acharyas also take pleasure in reading the words in different ways. Another way this occurs is when the acharyas discover Saraswati Vak in the words of various speakers, especially the demons. The demons are speaking to deride Krishna, and the acharyas find that the same words glorify Krishna. I think it's Jarasandha who calls Krishna Purushottama, the lowest among men, just like Naradama, the lowest among men. So Purush Nara, Purushottama, the lowest among men. He was a demon, so he wasn't going to call Krishna Purushottama, the best among men. Instead, he'll call him Purushottama, the lowest among men. But the acharyas have commented, hey Purushottama, Purusheshu Adhama, that, Purushottama, you who make all others go down. Purusheshu Adhama. So in this way, they've reinterpreted, reread all the insults to be praise of Krishna. And the big glorifier of Krishna turns out to be Shishupal. He's talkative, he's this, he's that. And it's all glorification of Krishna when reread by the acharyas. Indra also. These Brajbasis have been impressed by some talkative boy who's very proud of himself, so and so. And they've reread all the words in such a way that it glorifies Krishna. This is the business of the madmen. Prabhupada said one time that we should not forget our real business, which is to be mad after Krishna. So this is one way of being mad after Krishna, to read Srimad Bhagavatam and find so many meanings, unusual meanings, far-fetched meanings even, but ways that glorify Krishna. We find that Madhvacharya, I'm working with my grand disciple Vasudev on an English edition of Katha Upanishad. He's almost finished it, and he has finished it, in fact. Just the introduction is to be completed. So that should be a good contribution. We have Isha Upanishad, and then we'll have Katha Upanishad. And he's referenced various acharyas, those in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, and Madhvacharya has commented extensively on Katha Upanishad. And Madhvacharya, in particular, has very unusual meanings that he derives. Very unusual meanings, but they're justifiable, and they glorify the personality of Godhead. So the subsequent acharyas have all appreciated the commentaries of Sri Madhvacharya. And apart from that, he makes great, he has some great points in his commentaries. One place, what is that? He says that the two birds are together in the tree. They're near one another. They're friendly. So how can they be one? If you have two, if there's nearness, then they can't be one. Another place it's said, literally, that the living being is like the Lord. He becomes like the Lord. Madhvacharya says, like the Lord. If he was the Lord, he couldn't be like the Lord. He's like the Lord, so he's not the Lord. In another place, he comments that there's a famous passage in the Upanishads about the living being being the arrow and Brahman is the target. And he says, when the arrow hits the target, there's still an arrow and there's still a target. The arrow doesn't become the target doesn't become the arrow. So all of these brilliant points the devotees will enjoy even reading the Upanishads. The Srila Prabhupada didn't confine himself to Srimad Bhagavatam, he also wrote Isha Upanishad. And Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also famously went to Radha Kund and lectured on the Upanishads. Because they're also glorifying Krishna. What is that? Sarvagiyate. The Vede Ramayana Chaiva Bharate, like that it goes on. Then in the Vedas, in the Ramayana, in the Mahabharata, everywhere. Hari Sarvatra Giyate. Krishna is glorified. And so the devotees they'll read the Upanishads also with pleasure because it glorifies Krishna. Or they'll read especially Srimad Bhagavatam, Saram Saram Udharatam. And famously, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur lectured on the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam in Dhaka for how much? A month? 2 months? Mm-hmm. Anyway, long time. 3 months. 3 months. He must have had something else on his agenda, otherwise we're sure he could have spoken for 4 or 5 months. Because there's always something new. It's not the dull, dry topics of this material world. But there's always freshness. At the end of this discussion between Sanatana Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's finally describes the Atmarama verse in 64 different ways. He says to Sanatana Goswami, by your association, I just thought of another meaning. And then he says, actually, there's no limit because every word and every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. And Krishna is unlimited. So in every half syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's unlimited meaning. And by Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, by regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, regularly serving a pure devotee of Krishna, who's Bhagavatam in person, one can appreciate these things. Hare Krishna. Are there some questions, some comments?
Thank you for class, Maharaj. Do all the Upanishads glorify Krishna?
Excuse me?
Do all the Upanishads glorify Krishna?
Yes. See, it is too high. All the Upanishads glorify Krishna. Vede Ramayana Chaiva. Throughout the Vedas, of which the Upanishads are the headlines, Krishna is glorified. But it's not always directly. The Upanishads often will glorify Brahman, because the materialistic conditioned souls are immersed in the bodily conception of life. So they need to know that you're not this body, you're spirit, you're not matter. Ultimately, behind the coming and going of matter is the absolute truth. So to get them that far, the Upanishads have a lot to say about Brahman. Brahman is beyond categories. Brahman is beyond mundane speech. Brahman is beyond mundane forms and qualities. So many things will be said about Brahman. And so the impersonalist can latch on to this and appreciate Brahman. But what is Brahman? Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabjite. Vadanti tat tatvavidas. There's no difference between Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan. They're all the same absolute truth. Advaya. They're not two, they're one. But seen from different angles of vision. So the impersonalists will see the impersonal Brahma. The yogis will see the Paramatma. The devotees will see Krishna. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in one place, wherever you see Brahma, read Krishna. Wherever you see Brahma, read Krishna. Because Brahma means the absolute truth, the greatest, Brihat. So who's the greatest? Mata parataram nanya kinchit asti dhanashai. There's no one greater than me. There's nothing greater than me. So Brahman is Krishna. Therefore, all the Vedas, even when they're talking about Brahma, they're glorifying Krishna. But the Upanishads often confine themselves to that. You won't find Rasleela in the Upanishads. But therefore, we read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita that there was a meeting in the court of Lord Brahma, and all the different shastras were invited to speak about the absolute truth, and they're giving their realizations from different angles of vision. And the Upanishads, they were just like, what's the word, tiptoeing. You know, they're like going around the subject matter. They were talking about Brahma, they're talking about Atma, they're talking about that, but they never talk about Krishna directly. So Srimad Bhagavatam becomes angry and walks out of the assembly. But we have to say the Katha Upanishad is very directly theistic. Some of the Upanishads, maybe you can wiggle around a bit. The Katha Upanishads directly dealing with the personality of Godhead, Angusta Matra Purusha, the personality of Godhead who's within the heart and the size of a thumb, and Nityo Nityanam. He's the supreme eternal among the many eternals. Chaitanas Chaitananam. He's the supreme consciousness among all the conscious living beings. Eko bahunam yo vidatati kama. That singular conscious being is maintaining all the others, meeting the needs and fulfilling the needs of all the others. Now you can't have an impersonal Brahma doing that. You need the personality of Godhead, nor can everyone be that singular nitya. There's innumerable plural nityas, and there's only one singular nitya. among all the others. So it's the Katha Upanishad makes very clear there has to be individuality. And that was the question, one question asked in the Katha Upanishad. After death is what goes on. Does individuality continue even after mukti? And often people think, no, it doesn't. I went to a giant temple one time along on Padayatra. And the pujari took us on a little tour of the temple. And on the altar, they have all these Tirthankars, the Jain saints. And they're depicted as undergoing severe tapasya. Yeah, they're skin and bones, and they're deep in austerity and meditation. So we took darshan of everything. And after we were outside, we asked the pujari, yes, these are Tirthankars, what was their objective? Why were they undergoing all these austerities? And what was their goal? And he said the goal was moksha, liberation. And we asked him, moksha ke baad kya hai? After moksha, then what? And he replied, moksha ke baad kuch nahi. After moksha, nothing else. That's it. Done. So that's the question in Katha Upanishad. Is there something after moksha? Does individuality continue? And we hear that, yes, it does. So it's a very important book, actually, Katha Upanishad, and very much theistic. The Mayavadis have had a romp with the Upanishads, you know. They came to the West with their impersonal interpretations and editions of the Upanishads. And everyone thinks that the Upanishads were all about Brahman, they were all about the impersonal absolute, and that's as far as it goes. And the Gita, of course, is the commentary on the Upanishads. It's also impersonal. But Prabhupada has turned that around with his Bhagavad Gita as it is. Now the same professors who were saying that this is about Brahman now have to say, yes, it's a devotional text. And where we ought to reclaim the Upanishads for the Vaishnavas. Professors and scholars think that Upanishads means Advaita Vedanta and Shankara's commentary. But no, Shankara doesn't have a monopoly on Vedanta or on the Upanishads. There are great commentators like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, and in their lines, Vedesh Tirtha, Viragata, you know, many, many. And they've given powerful commentaries on the Upanishads, totally from the Vaishnava point of view. Yes.
Thank you for your class, Maharaj. All our prayers, most of the prayers that we, chant in the mornings and stuff, they're all in Sanskrit. And since the words have so many different meanings, if we do not pronounce the words properly, are we saying something else? And how does it affect our relationship with Krishna if we're saying something we don't intend
to? How does it affect our relationship if we're saying something not quite on target, if our pronunciation is bad, as it often is? First thing is we should try to pronounce these things correctly. Prabhupada asked us to learn how to pronounce the Sanskrit and even the Bengali and the songs as far as possible. And for that, the most important thing is the pronunciation guide. And it's it's really fairly simple. The Sanskrit has the advantage for those of us who are approaching it of having every letter always pronounced the same way. Pity the poor students of English who have to make the have to understand that there's a difference between whole, that there's no difference between whole and bowl in terms of the way the OW is pronounced. Yes. So we have English speakers who, you know, you drink from a bowl because that's how it's spelled. Sanskrit doesn't punish us that way. Every letter is always Bengali does, but Sanskrit always every letter is always pronounced the same way. So then you just have to learn the transliteration. Okay, what's an R with a dot under it? What's a T with a dot under it? What's an N with a dot under it? How do you pronounce TH? Not the way we have it, you know, like the. It's not Lord Jagannath. There's no such letter in Sanskrit. It's what's called an aspirated T. It means a T with a puff of breath after it, or with a puff of breath in it, really. So there's a ta and there's a ta. So Lord Jagannath. So all of these things are in the pronunciation guide. And just if we take that, so often we just don't spend the time, or we've grown up hearing ISKCON pronunciations that are there from the 1960s and that we just haven't critically looked at. So we hear Brahman. Have you heard Brahman? Yeah. But there's no, when you look at the spelling and the pronunciation guide, there's no Brahman. But one in the days before diacritic marks, we needed a way to discriminate between Brahma and Lord Brahma and all of that. At least some devotees thought so. And so they came up with this device for discriminating. Well, when we're talking about the absolute truth, we'll call it Brahman. The Prabhupada never did that, and the Sanskrit doesn't do that. But it persists in English. In ISKCON 60 years later, along with all sorts of entertaining ways of pronouncing people's names and so on. So the answer for this is to just study the pronunciation guide and ideally, you know, matching it with what you hear from someone speaking Sanskrit who knows the language. Pronunciation guide in Bhagavad Gita as it is, and Bhagavatam tends to be a little complicated. In the smaller books, there's a simpler guide which does quite well. And immodestly, I'll say that the pronunciation guide in Vanity Karma, I forget whether I included it in the Kirtan Standards book, but that guide is, I think, the clearest one that we have in ISKCON. Not the greatest accomplishment in the world, but I think it is, and so you can take advantage of it. But to do that, you have to buy the book or borrow it. But if you mispronounce the words, still Krishna appreciates the sound. Krishna is known as Bhavagrahi Janardana. It's said that a Murko Vadati Vishnaya. You know, we Om Keshavaya Namah, Om Narayanaya Namah, Om Madhavaya Namah. So then, okay, Om Vishnaya Namah. No, that's for the Murka. That's a fool, person who doesn't know any Sanskrit. He thinks, well, yeah, Om Vishnaya Namah. But that's wrong. The word is Vishnave. So Dhiro Vadati Vishnave, a person who knows, he says, ah, Vishnave Nama. But what is it? Ambos, Ubayo Samam Punyam? Ubayo Tam Samam Punyam. Both of them get the same good result. Why? Baba Grahi Janardana, because Lord Janardana, the person of Godhead, appreciates what he's trying to say, the sense of it, the meaning. Like a mother is crying for the child is crying for the mother doesn't examine the grammar. And if the grammar's off, sorry, kid. The mother understands the feeling of the child. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we may chant it like a Pakka Brahmin, or we may chant it like a, you know, like a Spaniard, or like a Chinese person, or an American. You know, the people all have different Hare Krishnas and Hare Krishnas and all sorts of other. If you're from Orissa, Hare Krishna. If you're from Bengal, Hare Rama. But Krishna's, he's after the feeling, not just your expertise in pronunciation. Unfortunately, because in the Vedic mantras, one little mistake and you just blew the whole thing, or you're going to get the opposite result, that you wanted Indra Shatru, an enemy of Indra, and instead you got the person whose enemy is Indra, and the whole meaning is reversed. So, fortunately, to chant Hare Krishna, it's our feeling. We have half a minute left. Yes, Pushkar Prabhu.
The question is, after so many years of the CC out printed with, doesn't have, you know, people who just read that and don't spend time in Mayapur, even if they do, they don't understand or learn Bengali pronunciation. So why hasn't that been adjusted to be phonetically printed?
Why is the Bengali adjusted to be phonetically?
Is that a GBC?
A phonetic system, because we're reading it and people say karma, what is that? Krishna Bhakti Koilo Sarva Karma Krita Haya.
Hi.
Hi. H-A-Y-A. When it's pronounced Hoy. So why aren't we writing it H-O-Y? At least for the
Is that a controversial question, or that seems like a logical question?
Is it controversial, or?
Yeah, I mean, why hasn't that been done? It seems like.
Why hasn't it been done? Why haven't we wised up and realize that people are, even ISKCON people, are mispronouncing these words right and left.
60 years, you mentioned 60 years, so we've had 50 years.
60 years of crazy pronunciation, and still we're persisting with this. Transliteration is what it's called. Transcription aims at phonetical representation, and transliteration gives you the individual letters.
Who decided to do it that way?
Who decided to do it that way? Well, to be honest, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami.
But he didn't do that in his Bhagavatam, so when he brought them over, they were all phonetically done.
Well, maybe not. But when it came to Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bengali, he said, do it that way. And we do it that way. Each way has its own advantage. The advantage of transliteration is that you'll know exactly what letter is being represented. And of course it's a disadvantage because you won't know how to pronounce it. Or you may or may not know. But we do it this way and have continued doing it this way because that's the way Prabhupada said to do it. Another disadvantage of transcription is you really have to know what you're doing. if you want to represent how it's actually pronounced, you have to know how it's pronounced. And not only that, but it may not always be pronounced the same way. If you're from Midnapur, you may not pronounce that word the same way that they pronounce it in Howrah.
So maybe something in the back of the books would be good to put all the verses there phonetically.
I'll put all the verses there phonetically. Wow, that's cool. Of course, I don't work there anymore, so I can't say how they should do things. But that would increase, of course, the volume of the book, and a lot of people just wouldn't make use of it. But that's not to say it can't be done, but one thought would be come out with a separate book, just all the verses as they are pronounced in a phonetical system. And I could see preachers, you know, traveling around with Chaitanya Charitamrita transcribed so that you know how to pronounce it and you don't.
I probably didn't complain when the songbook came out phonetically.
No, he didn't complain. What can I do? I mean, if you'd like to change it, don't talk to me.
Okay.
I don't change things anymore.
Were you sitting there when Prabhupada...
I don't work there.
Someone sat there and when you first started it and must have proposed that. Prabhupada wouldn't have known this weird academic method of...
Well, to tell you the truth, there is a letter. And I don't have my... This is not my laptop, so I don't have the letter to access. But if you look for it, in fact... In the BBT style guide online on my website, there's an entry about that, quoting the letter from Srila Prabhupada.
Letter to who?
I don't recall whether it was Pradyumna or someone else, but it's in the Veda base. The style guide is not in the Veda base, the letter is, but the faster way to find the letter would be to look in the style guide, and the style guide you can find on my website.
Style guide.
BBT style guide. I think that's how you'd find it. And it's, go ahead and look it up.
It's on the Veda base?
The letters are the Veda base, the style guide's not. The style guide, for the style guide, go to jswami.info.
.info.
.info, yeah, just to be different. It's .info. And so you can look it up there. There's a search thingamabob, a search box. And there you'll find it, probably before the end of the class. Asim will find it. Yes. So, and if you'd like, you know, any proposal, any idea, any notion, Savas Prabhu is your local BBT trustee, and then there's a worldwide batch of them, and I haven't worked there for years, so I don't have any, and talking to me is like talking to you, it's talking to a member of the public. I have no authority there. You spoke to Dravida and he went off on a tangent. Yeah, because he still works there. Anyone who works for an institution goes off on a tangent. Just like those who don't work for an institution. We all go off on tangents, yes.
Short of having access to some phonetic guide, we do have recordings of Srila Prabhupada reciting extensive sections of Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah, we do have
and
that.
And that, you know, you can go to those and listen to them carefully and follow along in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and pretty quickly pick up the way certain things are pronounced. It's actually a nice meditation.
Yeah. Wonderful to hear Prabhupada. And if you, I hadn't thought of that, but if you follow along, you'd say, aha, hi is hoy. And, but it is idiosyncratic in so some ways. And just like bowel, even though you've learned English and you've lived in America 15 years, you still drink from a bowel because that's how it is with second and third and fourth languages, that we may not always get it right. Did you find the letter? You didn't. Oh my goodness. Excuse me? The network is okay. We're blaming it on the network. All right, but if when you go home or if you are home, you can go to my website and search for the BBT style guide, and it won't be too hard to find the entry about transliteration or transcription or Bengali or whatever heading it's under. It'll be pretty fast. And I guess you can even do a search in the document. You'll find it. You heard that Nittai convinced him to do that.
Which in itself is, knowing the history, that's not a good
thing. Yeah, even if Nittai convinced him, all right, if he's convinced, that's it, he's the authority. But I don't know of any reliable authority for the history that Nittai convinced Srila Prabhupada. And if we looked carefully, we might even find that he decided before Nittai was traveling with him and so on. But the thing that we're sure of is that Prabhupada said, do it this way. That's how it is. And if you'd like to change the books, you can go talk to them. Oh, and be ready for all hell to be directed at you, by the way. Even from me, I think I would complain. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Thank you all. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.